got primary traits, which are what I consider basic traits. And then we sort of have advanced primary traits, which are traits that you may not have learned, but I would consider them very important. And by primary, that means, is there one stroke or one pattern that equates a certain personality trait? Does that make sense? So one ink spot or one T equals a certain trait. And the reason they're called advanced primary is just quite frankly, if you've gone through our basic program, you may have missed it. You know, it may not have been in a book. You may have heard it on a tape, not in a book. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about two sections, two speakers, myself and Marianne, and we're going to talk about advanced primary traits and some things which Marianne had been working on. Now, raise your hand if you've met Marianne Redhead before or by phone. Okay, she is probably the person you talk to on the phone. She is the person that primarily is the voice and the face of, or the voice more so than the face of Hanover University. And she's been working for a couple of years on something called an advanced Grapho deck. So she said, Bart, you know, everyone loves the Grapho deck. It's their favorite product. We've sold thousands and thousands all around the world. Wouldn't it be great if we had an advanced one? I said, well, Marianne, do we have 50 more traits? I mean, because it has to be a single concept, has to be able to identify one sentence, and it has to be one ink stroke. And she goes, I think we can put it together. So she's been working on that.
Okay, first one is called anger tics. Anybody familiar with this? I want everybody to feel sorry for me now. This is my dad's handwriting.
Oh, wow.
Little bitty hooks. Little, almost can't see them. Bitty bitty hooks. You think there's something wrong with your pen, but those are temper ticks. You put that together with the right hand slant. What do you have?
Wow.
That what? Impulsive. Walking on eggshells. Who was talking about the eggshells? Yeah, that was our house. So, anyway, so when you see this, you want to be cognizant of it and think about if you want to hire that person or look at the rest of the traits and stack them up. But those are temper tics. Questions? Okay, club stroke. Well, if you have a baseball bat, what does it look like? It's more narrow and then it gets thicker at the top, right? There it is. And sometimes you have to get out your microscope and really look at it, or a magnifying glass, and really look and see where the ink gets thicker and thicker, and that's more pressure and more anger coming down on the pen, and it's a club stroke. And if you see it in the writing, you want to be real careful with who you're dealing with. This writer has a potential for cruelty. Club strokes are made by bearing down hard on the writing utensil. Magnifying glass might be needed to see this trait clearly. And they are angry and combined with other traits, maybe violent or brutal. Basler's oval. I love this one. Like a cork pulled from a piggy bank, the stroke signifies someone who should not be handling assets or who will communicate such a deceptive way that nothing they say is believable. That's Jeffrey Dahmer's handwriting. And look at the hole in his A. So don't hire those either. You don't want those people handling your money or your assets. Now everybody, not everybody, a lot of people are familiar with the felon's claw and know that it's a bad thing. But as I'm getting to learn more, the first question is, well, what zone is it in? So what we decided to do is take the felon's claw and give you some information when it's on the baseline, but also when it's in the lower zone. So, referring to material, financial, or sexual influences, the writer is drawn to things he feels he was denied in the past. And this is how they, what they think. We don't know if they were really denied or not. So if what they feel they were denied, real or imagined. The stroke starting to the right and moving left denotes a going back. So they're going back, because remember that's to the left. I'm thinking, boy, I'm really upset because I never finished, I never made money, I never had money, I never had loving parents, I never had. And we're going back and contemplating what it is that they think that they've missed out on. And then when you come, and this is this trait stacking again, combined with signs of greed, he may use illegal means to get what he wants. The trait alone means that they punish themselves for deep feelings of guilt stemming from the formative years. So I actually see this a lot. Note here that this is in the lower zone. And I, in this case, the person that I know, the grandma and granddad, they did grow up and do without a lot of things, so probably she does do a lot of going back, and I wish we would have, could have had that type of thing. Okay?
Are you going to tell us about greed later? Because you say combine the signs of greed. So is
well, we'll see if it comes up on here. I can talk about it. If it doesn't, I can't. Okay, so this is in the middle zone now. So it's sitting on the baseline. These are felt and claws in the baseline now. Referring to current, because remember the baseline is now. Current and conscious guilt for bad behavior or about the image the writer projects. This is guilt again, but it's more about their personality and how they're projecting themselves. He does not accept himself and feel he should be better. This results in weary and irritable writer who always disappoints himself and in despair seeks to punish himself in a variety of ways. So if you see this with T-bars that are crossed backward, then the T-bars crossing backward will sure reinforce the fact that this person is having personal guilt. He's hostile, annoying, and centers on his own needs. Rejection. I felt kind of bad because the instructor's signature there was a teenager who taught my little girl how to swim a couple of summers ago at the park district, and I thought, poor guy. I wanted to come and say, what's the matter? You know, he was just a teenager, and who knows what's going on with him. And then consequently, it's strange, both of these are Stevens. It was not the same one. I can't remember where I got that other one. But anyway, this is a writer who's dissatisfied with themselves. And if they cross out their first name, they're probably upset with themselves. They cross out the last name, it's going to either be who they're married to, or if they're not married, it's going to be their father or what their father or their last name represents. So maybe all the people whose last name is Simpson, after tonight, maybe they can cross out their name. and then if the whole name is crossed out, this is somebody who's just sadly unhappy with themselves. Don't, if you're happy with yourself, you're not going to go back and cross your name out. You just don't do that. Questions? Repression. This is when you make these M strokes and they're crunched together like an accordion. Very, very close. They're not open and spread out. And this person is repressed and holding in information that they probably need to release and maybe get some counseling or talk to somebody and get it over with so it doesn't lead to anger or
resentment.
Yeah. You know, the one that doesn't end. Yeah, the resentment. Resentment strokes. And you'll find this in the little bit of house that they're clammed up and don't want to release it.
Do they know what it is they're repressing?
Probably some yes and some no, I would think. Have you ever noticed this before?
Oh, rivers.
If you look up on ice cream, my own writing, I thought, wow, look at that. Have you ever noticed? Wow. Well, that's not good. I can draw all the way through here, you know? And if you notice that one, you can't draw from one line down to the next. So these are called rivers. I actually learned this from the Erica Karos book, but Bart has also cited it from other sources. But this is, I wrote, rivers separate land in a big way, as do rivers in handwriting, by creating space between a writer and others who they encounter. The writer prefers and enjoys his time alone. So what kind of slant do you think that person's going to have, the river person? Or straight up and down, yeah. Right. When rivers are identified with other red flag traits, this could be a sign that the writer is protecting himself from the desire to possibly act out toward others in a negative way. So if you have criminals who have already gone out and created crime, they are going to hold back and distance themselves so nobody finds out about it or nobody finds out about their character. And you may well see rivers like that in their handwriting. So that's more of a gestalt thing. But it really gives you a lot of information, which I think is great. Okay? Bart disagrees with me on this, and I have not done research on this, but I think it's neat. I actually did analyze one woman's handwriting at the school that my kids go to, and she had these really cool loops, the top one. I said, Kim, you sing to yourself, don't you? She goes, how do you know? So it worked that time.
I saw someplace that that was versatility, and it had the eyelet on the top, but that was with a great deal of imagination. So like the people that are great at starting up businesses, they come up with ideas that are very versatile in that way.
And was that on the R, do you remember?
Pardon?
Was that on the R? Because this,
well,
would be on, this would be on an R.
On the R specifically.
Okay.
But I'll work it.
Well, and you would think that all
if
of...
If we all did that, we would have a pretty good basic for it.
Well, yeah. Have a pretty good choir, too.
Well, maybe
I'll throw out the choir.
Go ahead.
Maybe it doesn't have so much to do with a good voice as a performance. You're performing when you sing, whether you sing well or not. It's, and developing businesses and doing that, that is a creative performance also.
What I haven't seen is the third one. I don't think I've seen it at all.
Well, I do sing to myself and others, and I don't do that.
just scratch out the bottom line.
Well, no, I have actually seen the bottom line mainly in children. So.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's it.
Well, we can explore it and help you with
that's
that.
Right. We'll help you with that.
Email me.
Yeah.
Ready. The one thing you want to be really careful with threading is this person in a terrible hurry? This one actually comes from a doctor. So of course he's in a hurry. How many times a day does he sign his name? But if you have somebody who's not a doctor and they're threading, what are they trying to hide in that writing that you can't read?
Everything.
So you want to make really sure that if you see this, you want to find out maybe what they do first before you accuse them of hiding things.
I'm trying not to accuse anyway.
Often used by quick-minded writers, with the words ending in ing, used for speed, useful only if the writing is still legible. It's hard to be legible when you're writing. So, and that's more of a gestalt thing too, but it gives you information. Their lack of information. Worry loops. My mom has these. Everybody's mom?
Yeah.
This is one of the traits that Bart was talking about that said, you know, he doesn't realize until he tests some of us that there's things that he thinks we know that we don't know. This worry loop is actually in a section of the test and in the grapho lab. And they're going, what? And that's what it is. So he got a little ahead of himself. But that's when you have imagination in these M's, it's worrying.
Or it's just a W.
Yeah, they draw it that way. Irritability. And this is interesting because you can use some of these new traits that you're learning to make correct what you had in mind. If you thought, oh, well, this person gets irritated toward other people's because you saw a T crossed more to the right, well, you can look at their eye dots, and if they're jabbed more to the right, then you know you're right. If they're jabbed to the left, then they're irritable toward
themselves.
Or
the past.
And if they jab it down,
situation,
right now,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. Does anybody sign their name with gigantic first initials? Jerry. Bruce. Anybody else? Ego strength. Bold personality. Bruce is bold because I could feel that over the phone. Draws strong and clear personal boundaries, commands respect in social situations, walks with confidence. But what happens if you have all of this ego strength in the signature, but the rest of the handwriting is small and it's all the same size? What do you have?
Smaller.
I mean smaller than what they made their capital initial in.
Yeah.
when they sign their names.
Doesn't that mean that you want other people to see you that way?
This is your on stage.
Right.
Your regular writing is off stage.
It's how you want everybody to see you. So then you have to go back. If you have somebody with gigantic initials or they sign their name very large, but the rest of the handwriting is smaller, you probably want to go back and find out what they're hiding. Because they're going to say, oh, I'm this great big, you know, powerful, wonderful person, and then inside, you know, the world is stuck. That is some huge desire for recognition, and then some really small handwriting. So there's the concentration in this particular sample, but then you would want to look at what they wrote, what they actually wrote. Did somebody else have a question? No. Okay. Alternative sexual preference. This person is open and curious about alternative sexual preferences common among bi or homosexuals. So, if I remember right, back in second and third grade, nobody taught us to make these triangles in our Y loops, right?
Right.
So isn't it interesting that along the way, somebody comes along and makes their lower loops that way? It's wild. Think about it. Remember, of course, that they go down. They're going back to the past, thinking about it, going forward. So it's probably somebody who might still be confused in that area, or is experimenting in that area, or maybe they've already made a decision and they're going to say something other than traditional.
Okay, and could that also could it also generally just mean out of the norm, sexual out of the norm, not necessarily perversion, just out of the norm, as in celibacy in priests, celibacy
right.
in nuns?
Yeah, it would, and then there would be other traits in the writing that would probably tell you to what extreme.
And if you're talking about this physical and also.
So what do you mean, like doing jumping jacks for 5 miles instead of running them? No lower loops retraced below the baseline. The writer is exact in his work and follows rules and laws. And that's, of course, notice that it's not opposite. Remember the YP that Bart just talked about, the desire for physical activity? Notice that these aren't opposites of each other.
Right.
So here's... There's your argumentative person who's precise, the lower one. That's my dad too. Okay, so if you're hiring a bookkeeper, somebody, you want him to do good work, precise works, you want those retraced lower P's. Deliberateness. You're gonna find this more in children's handwriting because they're trying harder to still form the letter. So if you have adults that are writing with this deliberateness, they're either learning something new or they're maybe having a hard time digesting the information. Writer has their own rate of progress. They cannot speed up as they work specifically on their task. They do not wish to make a mistake. That's pretty slow handwriting. If it looks more like a teepee, that's more your stubbornness, but the rounded, more what this is about is how slow it took to make the letters. The first one and the second one, you would still be able to say that they're stubborn plus they're slow. The second two, you know, you could add that in on the first two, and the second two would be more about the deliberateness and the writing it. Okay, there are different ways that people connect their letters. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but some people connect underneath, some people connect by going up and over. And this is the garlands. This is that you're friendly, let's hold hands and be friends, friendly writing where you got kind of go down to the baseline and then back up again to make your letter. They're friendly and affectionate, social and flexible, reach out to others. However, there are some people who,
they might leave the A and go, instead of connecting, making the A down at 8 o'clock on the clock, they go straight up to 12, which some of that might be resentment, but they would instead go up to the top of the A and then make it from up there. And those are, remind me.
Arcade.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What?
But that would be arcade handwriting, and that is a tendency to cover up. So these are more, you're more friendly, and the others, the ones that go straight up, has a tendency to cover up. I don't think we did a card on that one. This is along the lines of what Bart was talking about also. This is eliminating your beginning strokes starting from the baseline. Instead, you don't need that. It's not really something that's needed, except that's what makes it cursive. When you're connecting your letters, that's what makes it cursive. But if you find somebody who leaves that out and just does the bottom type thing, or the T's, whatever, then they're more efficient. They take out all the gibber that you don't need.
Marianne, you have on there, quick thinkers use clean starter strokes. And I thought you were trying to show that the quick thinkers didn't have any starter strokes.
That's the same thing.
In the information that I read, they said that the quicker thinkers, just they eliminate that stuff, and they do more of this direct writing. Also, when you have the combination, some of them, it's the print writing where they do both.
Yeah.
Those are your efficient people also. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just have to be this, because then you're almost back to printing. Now, this is where you start getting back to analyzing children, or if you're just sitting at your desk and you're doodling, talking on the phone, maybe doodling, how do you doodle? Do you go like this? Or do you go like this? That says something about you. So when you have somebody with this angular writing, you have your quicker thinker and kind of the Donald Trump, analyze, investigate, analyze, investigate, analyze, investigate. But he's probably not too terribly warm and fuzzy, I'm thinking, right? Yeah. So it depends on what you need. If you need warm and fuzzy, you don't want somebody like this. But they're quick to get their work done, often use heavier pressure, and then the angles show some people get things done. Really, you can't read it because it just goes up and down.
They're very critical things.
Okay, so here's the arcades, and this is where I was trying to show you that instead of starting at the baseline and connecting at 8 o'clock on the A, it goes up to more like 10 or 11 up, or sometimes it even covers the letter and then comes back down again. Those are the arcades. I must have been drinking when I made that one.
I have some Elizabeth Taylor stuff. She's from the old school, too. I'll send it to you. It's got a whole bunch of hers when she was going through treatment.
I must have been.
No, it's all about the, there you go.
Well, it was section. Hard. It was hard for me to.
Yeah.
I was deliberately making a sample.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's how they connect. Okay, this writer wants to cover up. He's protecting himself through formality and is controlled. Pretends to live by the rule. They may say it, but they don't adhere to it. So arcades will give you away. And keep in mind, now this is more gestalt again, but keep in mind that you might have nice garland handwriting, but maybe if they're talking about something that they want to cover up, you might find arcades in that word or in that sentence, but then go back to garland again. So that will give you information. And that's, Andrea McNichol talks about that. That's how she picks people out when your writing changes and you can see things like this change in what normally might be garland handwriting, that gives you away. Fear of rejection. This is when the letters in your word are not all the same size. Remember that inside the word tells you if a person is outgoing or if they're more introverted. And so maybe your person will start out more outgoing, but then their confidence starts to fizzle, and then their writing starts to fizzle, and you can't measure up all of the word, all of the letters into that pattern. So that's somebody who fears rejection. But do you see how that works? Kind of the psychology behind it. You feel big, but then people are looking at you. Oh, people are just.
nudging me, and then you start feeling small and you don't make all your letters the same size. I walked into my son's third grade classroom, and I looked at the blackboard and I said, "Mrs. Miller, you're under a lot of stress, aren't you?" She couldn't believe it. She goes, "Yeah, she's done the divorce thing, and her T-bars look like that." So think of a branch, Gina. Think of a branch, Gina. And pull it down this way, right? It's more and more stress, and finally it's gonna snap. So that's somebody who's under a lot of pressure. We were doing a closing on our house. We were sitting there signing papers. And the papers that came from the bank, all the T-bars look like this. I told my realtor, I said, "This person needs a vacation. So somebody go back to her and tell her." Yeah.
Do they have to be off of the stem?
Oh, off the stem? No, it's the curve of it.
Edward, it could be lower.
Yes, they had high self-esteem with their
control.
That's,